أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، بارئ الخلائق أجمعين، ثم الصلاة والسلام على سيدنا ونبينا ومولانا وحبيب قلوبنا وطبيب نفوسنا وشفيع ذنوبنا أبي القاسم المصطفى محمد صلى الله عليه وآله أجمعين وأصحابه المنتجبين. أما بعد، قال الله تعالى في كتابه الكريم: ليس كمثله شيء وهو السميع البصير. In the name of Allah, the most merciful, the most compassionate. Respectable audience, distinguished listeners and viewers, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Today, God willing, we are going to talk about the divine attributes. Prior coming and touching the topic of divine attributes, let me have a brief look at what we have presented for you, dear listeners, in the previous lesson. In the previous lecture or lesson, we have treated two divisions of the divine attributes. First, the positive and negative categorization of the divine attributes. We say that there are two types of positive and negative attributes of Almighty Allah. The positive attributes are those attributes that we can attribute and we can ascribe to Almighty Allah. When we describe Almighty Allah, we mostly attribute, we describe Almighty Allah with these sorts of attributes. For example, such as life, such as mercy and compassion. So these sorts of attributes are related to Almighty Allah. Moreover, there are some attributes that we should negate from Almighty Allah. There are some sort of attributes that we should never relate to Almighty Allah. We should never ascribe to Almighty Allah. For instance, death. For instance, being miser or being jealous. Those human qualities should never be ascribed to Almighty Allah. Those human attributes should never be implied for the sake of Almighty Allah's description. So this was a very important division that the philosophers and theologians have made about the divine attributes. We, in Arabic literature, or in Arabic language, we call it Sifat Salbi and Sifat Thubuti. This is the first categorization we have made in the previous session. The second categorization was the attributes that are related to Almighty Allah's essence. The attributes that are related to Almighty Allah's essence, without pondering, without taking into account Almighty Allah's relationship with the rest of the creatures. This is called Sifat Dhati. I mean, those essential attributes are the attributes that are related to Almighty Allah's essence. Another division is Sifat Fi'li. It means that we have to describe Almighty Allah's actions. Whenever we think of Almighty Allah's actions, whenever we think of Almighty Allah's, for example, mercy and compassion and respect with the rest of the creatures, these attributes are called Sifat Fi'li. It means we describe Almighty Allah's actions by these attributes. This is an important division we have made in the previous session. Today, God willing, we are going to talk about this, that can we understand, can we really have a full understanding of Almighty Allah's attributes? All these terms that we imply for for the nature, for the creature. Can these terms accommodate the description of Almighty Allah's real nature, Almighty Allah's real essence? Is it possible that these terms we imply with one another, we imply and we make use of those terms, make use of those vocabularies in our human interactions, can they serve our purpose describing Almighty Allah's attributes or not? There should be some other terms, vocabularies, literature, language that should serve our purpose. What is the exact matter in this regard? Respectable audience, the Muslim philosophers, the Muslim theologians, and men of knowledge, they have made their vigorous attempts to solve this question and to provide answers for this question. That whenever we talk of Almighty Allah's attributes, what do we mean? Whenever we talk of Almighty Allah's attributes, what do we intend? This is very much important that we have to keep it in mind. In response to this question, that how to define Almighty Allah's attributes, or how to describe, or how to afford understanding Almighty Allah's attributes, there are three important schools of thought. There are three important approaches. Each of them has tried his best. Each of them has made his own important and particular attempts and efforts to comprehend what Almighty Allah's attributes are and how they have to describe Almighty Allah, how they have to recognize Almighty Allah, and how they have to make the people understood of Almighty Allah's attributes. Those three fundamental schools of thought are as follows. Those three fundamental schools of thought are as follows. The first school of thought that today we are going to, inshallah, touch, that is anthropomorphism. We call it in Arabic or in Persian, tashbih. Why they are called tashbih? Why they are called anthropomorphism? For this, that they believe and they are of the view that we have to apply the same attributes of human beings to Almighty Allah. They believe that there is no problem ascribing to Almighty Allah those attributes we gave for the human beings. How we define, for example, a man, we define the human beings with these attributes, that he is walking, he is coming, he is going, he sees, he feels. According to their belief, according to their understanding, we can have the same attributes related to Almighty Allah. We can have Almighty Allah described by the very attributes we define the human beings' actions and interactions with. In another word, to them, there is no difference, there is no essential difference between Almighty Allah and that of the human being. The same attributes we ascribe to the human beings, they can be ascribed to Almighty Allah. They can be related to Almighty Allah. For example, you say that Ali is coming. You can say that God is coming. Or Ali is going. So going here is an adjective, is an attribute. The same predicate, the same attribute, the same adjective can be given or can be related, can be ascribed to Almighty Allah. So this is an approach, we call it tashbih. Why? Because they find, according to their beliefs, similarities between Almighty Allah and that of the human being. They believe that there is similitude, there is similarity, there is likeness between Almighty Allah in that of the human beings. So there is no problem that we have to describe Almighty Allah with those attributes we describe the human beings with. There is no problem, according to their beliefs. But later on, we will have a critical appraisal of this approach. We will criticize this approach, that this approach does not seem to be true. This approach is not correct. For the reasons, God willing, we will be presenting for you, dear listeners. What is the problem with this point of view? What is the problem that lies with this approach that we cannot find similitude, we cannot find likeness, or Almighty Allah does not resemble human beings? There are some verses of the Holy Quran that deny every kind of human attributes from Almighty Allah. This is the reason we believe that this approach does not seem to be true. What made the adherents of the first approach to believe in anthropomorphism? What made them to believe so? There are some verses of the Holy Quran that made them to believe so. For example, in chapter Al-Hadith, there is a verse that says, وَجَاءَ رَبُّكَ وَالْمَلَكُ صَفًّا صَفًّا. Almighty Allah comes and the angels are in the queue. So the literal and the apparent meaning of this verse of the Holy Quran made them to believe such beliefs that Almighty Allah comes as if the human beings come. But according to us, we do not believe so that Almighty Allah comes as the human beings come. Why? Because Almighty Allah does not have any physical existence. Almighty Allah does not contain any physics. Almighty Allah does not occupy, as the physical beings or existence occupy, places and spaces. Almighty Allah should be bereft of all these physical attributes we describe the human beings with. Moreover, according to us, there is a serious and uncompromising difference between the human beings and that of Almighty Allah. Why? Because we did prove this important fact in the previous lectures that Almighty Allah is a necessary existence, while the human beings are possible existence. The human beings are contingent existence. They cannot stand parallel with Almighty Allah. They should not be compared with Almighty Allah. Since we believe that there is a serious and uncompromising difference between the human being's essence and Almighty Allah's essence, for sure we believe that these attributes of the human beings cannot be given to Almighty Allah. So what we do with these meanings, with these verses of the Holy Quran? For example, what we interpret, وَجَاءَ رَبُّكَ وَالْمَلَكُ صَفًّا صَفًّا. What is the interpretation we make? That will be dealt with, inshallah, in the third approach. So, respectable audience, till now, we could prove that there are three approaches, and the first approach does not seem to be true because it suffers lots of intellectual and conceptual flaws and errors. This is the first approach. The second approach have gone another extreme. What they do? They say, since the human beings are totally different with Almighty Allah, so we should never ever describe Almighty Allah with attributes. We should purify Almighty Allah from all attributes. That is called tanzih mutlaq, an absolute purification, or de-anthropomorphism. Since they could not solve the challenges met by the first approach, they tended towards the second approach. They say, if we attribute, or if we ascribe Almighty Allah too many attributes, then we cannot solve these challenges. So to flee from those challenges, what we have to do, the attributes should never be related, should never be ascribed to Almighty Allah. So that is called absolute purification or Puritan approach. We call it Tanzih. Dear listeners, what do you believe? In order to have a full understanding, a comprehension of your Lord, can you say that, "Oh, my Lord is not merciful"? Because they say that even mercifulness, even compassion, all these attributes should be exempted, should be taken from Almighty Allah in order not to fall victim to that anthropomorphism. They believe that since Almighty Allah is absolutely different from the human beings, from all His creatures, we should not talk with Almighty Allah with a positive language. We should not say that Almighty Allah is merciful, Almighty Allah is compassion. Because these words, these terms, these terminologies we apply with one another, we make use of them in our human interactions, they cannot convey the message that we mean from Almighty Allah. So they believe that we should always talk with a negative language with Almighty Allah. When we say Almighty Allah is merciful, we should mean that Almighty Allah is not an oppressor. When we talk about justice of Almighty Allah, we should mean that Almighty Allah is not oppressor. When we talk about Almighty Allah's mercifulness, we should bring another objective. This is the second approach, notion, and belief about Almighty Allah's attributes. Once again, to simplify this, they believe in respect to Almighty Allah, our words are insufficient. Our terminologies we use, they cannot convey the message we mean from Almighty Allah. So what we should do? We should purify Almighty Allah from all the attributes. We should not say that Almighty Allah is the most merciful, Almighty Allah is just, Almighty Allah is compassionate, Almighty Allah is this and that. These attributes should not be ascribed to Almighty Allah. This is their approach. Why they have come to this conclusion? Let's talk. Why they have come to this conclusion? That we should purify all the attributes from Almighty Allah. We should not believe that these attributes explicitly represent Almighty Allah's essence, Almighty Allah's attributes. Why they have come to this conclusion? Interestingly, there is another verse of the Holy Quran that made them to believe so. What is that verse? This verse of the Holy Quran is Subhanallahi amma yasifun. Almighty Allah is beyond what they ascribe attributes to Almighty Allah. Almighty Allah extends beyond the attributes they describe Almighty Allah with. Almighty Allah extends beyond their reach. Almighty Allah extends beyond their comprehension. Sometimes, you know, this verse of the Holy Quran is about the Arabs' state. They have described Almighty Allah with various attributes. Almighty Allah says, do not attribute Almighty Allah with these sorts of features, or do not relate, do not ascribe to Almighty Allah these attributes. They say that since this verse of the Holy Quran exists, none of the attributes serve our purpose. None of the attributes can give us true meaning from Almighty Allah's attributes. So we should deny, we should negate totally and utterly. This is the second approach. We call it Tanzih, to purify all the attributes from Almighty Allah. This approach does not seem to be true. Dear listeners, the second approach is not true too. The second approach is also facing with various challenges. Why? Because there are various verses of the Holy Quran that explicitly give Almighty Allah's positive descriptions. There are various verses of the Holy Quran that prove these attributes for Almighty Allah. For example, this verse of the Holy Quran, هُوَ اللَّهُ الَّذِي لَا إِلَٰهَ إِلَّا هُوَ عَالِمُ الْغَيْبِ وَالشَّهَادَةِ وَهُوَ الرَّحْمَنُ الرَّحِيمُ. Or the very first verse of the Holy Quran that time and again, or every now and then we repeat and we recite in our daily prayers, and that is بِسْمِ اللَّهِ الرَّحْمَنِ الرَّحِيمِ. So this Rahman and this Rahim is the attributes related to Almighty Allah. So what do you believe in this respect? What is your response, oh dear adherents of the second approach? All these attributes cannot be nonsense or cannot be senseless, cannot be absurd, God forbid. So variety of verse of the Holy Quran explicitly give us this conclusion, makes us reach this conclusion that Almighty Allah deserves to be ascribed various attributes. It means some meaningful attributes can be ascribed to Almighty Allah, as Almighty Allah himself did it in the Holy Quran. هو الأول والآخر. He is the first and he is the last or the final. والظاهر والباطن هو الرحمن الرحيم. So these are all connoting or implying positive attributes. We should not negate this. Why we should negate? Why we should say that all these attributes are meaningless or we cannot reach to the meaning of these attributes? This kind of approach would lead us that we should leave aside and we should put aside our demonstrative arguments, or we should switch off our intellect. While the Holy Quran has repeatedly, in various verses of the Holy Quran, has said that why you do not contemplate, why you do not make use of your intellect, أَفَلَا تَدَبَّرُونَ, why you do not contemplate, why you do not meditate, أَفَلَا تَتَفَكَّرُونَ, do not they make use of their thought? Or أَمْ عَلَىٰ قُلُوبٍ أَقْفَالُهَا. Not only Almighty Allah encourages using intellect, but also rebukes those who do not make use of their intellect. So if we say that we cannot understand, or we understand nothing from Almighty Allah's attributes, it implies or it connotes indirectly this, that we should not make use of our ration, we should not make use of our intellect. And this implication is 100% false. This is 100% untrue. Because Almighty Allah has repeatedly recommended us that we have to imply, we have to apply our rationality, we have to imply our rational demonstrations. This is an important response in respect to the second approach, who believe that we should purify Almighty Allah from all the dirts of attributes. So it does not make sense that we should say that none of those attributes, none of those positive attributes that are that exist in the Holy Quran, none of them should be meaningful. If these two approaches cannot serve our purpose, so what we have to do? So we have to recourse once again to the Ahlul Bayt's teachings, what they have said in this respect. The third moderate way is the true approach we have to apply, and we have to make use of this approach in regard with Almighty Allah's attributes. In another word, the divine attributes must be interpreted in accordance with the third right and righteous approach. We have given the rubric or the name of the moderate way, that it neither goes to this extreme, I mean anthropomorphism or anthropomorphic approach, nor to the second absolutely Puritan approach, that Almighty Allah should be bereft of all the attributes. We take the moderate way, we take the moderate course, In that is, that has been taken from the infallible Imam's teachings. So, what is the solution? According to our Imams, they say that firstly, you have to make a distinct difference, or you have to draw a distinction between the necessary existent and that of the contingent or possible existent. You have to be sure of the precise difference between the human, who is the creature of Almighty Allah, and that of Almighty Allah, who is the creator. The distinction should be drawn between these two important concepts. Then, all those attributes which are exclusively of the human beings, they should not be referred to Almighty Allah. All those attributes which are mixed with limitations, with deficiency, with defects, should not be ascribed to Almighty Allah. Rather, the attributes, they should be purely attributed to Almighty Allah. The attributes should be made pure from those limitations, from those deficiencies, from those incompletions, and then they should be related and they should be given to Almighty Allah. And this is the true path and approach we are following about the divine attributes. May God bless us all that we have to recognize all these concepts, and then we have to beautify ourselves with the content of all these concepts. Thank you very much. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.